You're listening to the Hope United podcast, creating an atmosphere of worship, family, and discipleship. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit hopeunited.church.
I want to invite Pastor Corinne to the stage. She's going to be speaking with me today. Amen.
I feel the love. Thank you, guys.
There's a lot of love.
Thank you.
You know, sometimes we're at home and we're having such great conversation about what God is doing, what the vision is, and where God has taken the house and what God is saying to us as a people, that I thought it's just so important to get her up here and share some of these things with you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you would just touch our ears. Let us hear what you want us to hear. God, touch our hearts, Father, that it would be fertile ground, that we would hear something, we would take that vision and begin to run with it, God, and it would be powerful. This would be a great season of blessing and increase and possession of that which you've told us. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. Amen. So we've been on this great, amazing topic that God gave us, really, possessing the promise. And we know that our vision is a vehicle to get us to the promise. We know that there are going to be moments that we have to fight for what God has promised us. How many know the children of Israel didn't just prance into the promised land and take it? There were actually some giants. There were some armies. There were some enemies that they had to overcome. And so in the process of getting to what God has promised you, there's going to be some battles. But we know that this is our season. How many believe that? That this is your season. Hallelujah. So God gave us this word for our new year to possess the promise. We've seen it. We've talked about the promise. We've dreamed about the promise. We've encouraged one another in the promise. But God is saying this is the season to possess the promise. So to fill you in, we've been talking a lot from Joshua's story. And we were in Joshua chapter 1 the last 2 weeks. The first week we were talking about how God charged Joshua with an assignment and with a promise. And then we saw the next week as Joshua charged the people, and the people got an opportunity to respond to that charge. Today, though, I want to talk to you from Joshua chapter 2, and it starts with Joshua sending out spies. So let's go there, Joshua 2, verses 1. It says, "Then Joshua, the son of Nun, sent two men from Shittim to go in secret to learn about the land. And he said to them, 'Go and spy out the land and Jericho.' So they went and they came to the house of Rahab." Now, this was really interesting to me because Moses sent 12 spies, but Joshua only sent two. Because what happened was Joshua learned from the way that Moses did it and said, you know what, we're going to do it a little bit differently. Because not only did the 12 spies bring back a confirmation on God's word, they also brought back a lot of opinions. And they projected their fears on top of God's promise. Listen very carefully. When you're sharing your promise with people you're not supposed to, they can project their fears and they can interject their opinions on what God has sovereignly spoken over your life. So Joshua said, you know what? I only need two guys. I only need a confirmation. In biblical numerology, the number two means a witness, right? Or a confirmation. So Joshua said, I only need a confirmation. I don't need to hear a lot of people giving me their opinions. I don't need to hear about people's fears. I don't need to hear about other people's experiences. What's important to me is the word of the Lord and a confirmation on what God has said. And so when God gives you a promise, look for confirmation, not opinions. Come on, church. You know this happens sometimes. You know this happens where you hear something from God and then you start getting other people's opinions. You let people start weighing in on it. And all of the opinions aren't necessarily productive for what God is trying to do. And sometimes there's discouragement in the wrong type of opinions. And so Joshua said, you know what? I only need two. And let me tell you today, you only need two. You only need a confirmation. Amen? Matthew 7:6, Jesus says it this way. Don't cast your pearls before swine. Don't take what's precious and give it to the dogs. Right? Now, I'm not saying you got pigs and dogs hanging around you. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is there may be some people around you that are not ready to encourage you in the promise God has given you. So it's best to look out for and speak to people that are full of discernment and full of vision. Because somebody that's got discernment and got vision can see what God is doing in you and give you confirmation.
I think that's exactly what set those two spies apart, was that they had discernment. And there's such safety. You know, the scripture says, there's a proverb that says, there is safety in the multitude of counsel. But it's the counsel of the godly. It's righteous. It's a wise leadership. It's not just you're asking Joe Blow or a friend that kind of for his opinion. You got to seek people that know who you are in Christ, people that hear for God for themselves, and that can speak a word and perceive what's going on in the spirit, and then respond and bring a confirmation to you. And I think that's also important because we cannot fall victim to making decisions in a vacuum. We have to make sure that if we're moving forward to advance the kingdom of God, we have to make the right steps. Of course, God has grace and he's able to help us when we make mistakes. But goodness, can we just start at the right place and ask God for his guidance and his leadership and get the confirmations that we need to then move forward boldly? So what we really should be doing is to get clarity on what the promises are for us. You know, there's a lot out there on YouTube. There's a lot out there that people say, people that say that they have the word of God in their mouth and they don't. So we have to be discerning, because what we don't want to do is become the people with itching ears, that whatever somebody says is not biblically based and we just start going to confirm something that we just want in our flesh. So let's make sure to seek clarity from the Holy Spirit and those that are led by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And I love this here in Joshua 2. It says, the two men from Shittim, they go in secret to learn about the land. And God said, go spy out the land and Jericho. Joshua said that. So they go and they come to the house of Rahab. Mm. Can I tell you that along your journey to your promise, God is going to send you allies. Yeah. And they're not going to look like you. They're not going to talk like you. They're not going to have the same background than you, right? And where would the children of Israel be if God didn't send them allies like Rahab? Rahab was from a different culture. She was from a different background. But yet God sent Rahab in their path. Can I tell you that God is going to send you allies? It's important for us to keep an open mind about who God is bringing into our lives. Oftentimes we see somebody and they're doing things a little different than we do them, you know, and so we kind of push them away when God is trying to bring them in close to aid us in the pursuit of what he's promised us.
You're right. You know, I was just reading this week about Paul, where he says not to look down on others for their differences. He uses a specific thing. If somebody chooses not to eat meat, you know, don't look down on them. It was a simple example, but I mean, think about us day to day. There's people all around us that are different in the way that they do things and maybe even some of the things that they believe. But the truth is, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, whatever your background is, we shouldn't be looking down on others. If anything, we should be looking to give somebody a hand up, to show them hope, to show them love. So I think one of the things that we've even learned on our journey is, you know, just God has sent us people that sometimes aren't exactly like us and push us out of our comfort zone. And that's a good thing, because just as Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. God places people around us strategically that can help to shine a light on areas in our life that we might need to grow in. Like a couple of weeks ago, we went out with a couple, a ministry couple from another church. And we were just kind of exchanging stories and getting to know each other. And we realized like how much of a different background we both came from. They have different hobbies, different likes, like just a lot of differences. But we had a common ground, and that was that we want to advance the kingdom. And we found ourselves learning from them, and they learned stuff from us too, from our journey. And so we have to keep an open mind with that, because God will send you people, and if we turn them away, or if we don't choose to see that they're there, how many of you have a person or have ever had a person, maybe nobody in this room, but that has just, they grind on you so bad, you know, and you're just like, man, this person is testing my patience. But I mean, doesn't that reveal to you that that's an area of growth? Like, hey, I need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. I need to grow in patience, you know? So it's just keeping an open mind to see things the way the Spirit is laying them out for you. Because these people can sometimes be, just like Bishop has said before, you never know if you're sitting next to your miracle or somebody that's ready to run with you. Because it's not just about us and advancing our own lives. It's not just about Hope United, you know, becoming something great. It's about us coming together as the body of Christ and making a difference in this world.
Amen. Yes. Amen. So the children of Israel on this journey, Joshua was taking them on this journey. They're on their way to cross the Jordan River and then to go to Jericho and to fight this battle. And so Joshua gives them this instruction in Joshua 3:3. He says, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, your God, and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your position and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. Look at somebody and say, you've never been
this way before.
See, this is why we have to be following the Spirit, because we've never been this way before. When you're on the path to your promise, you don't know how to get there. And so Joshua says, follow the ark. Follow the Spirit. It's so important that we don't do things in the natural. If you want to get to where God wants to take you, you got to follow the leading of the Spirit. When you pursue your promise, follow the ark. Yeah. Follow the Spirit on your journey.
It's really simple to me. When I think of the scripture that says, it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. There's a limit to our natural capabilities. There's a limit to our knowledge, you know, but there's not a limit to what the Holy Spirit can do through us, and the wisdom that He can give us, and the power that He can give us. And so I start to think about in the Word, how many men and women of God that did great things. If you look throughout, you can see it. What if those people did, like for instance, David, what if he tried to face the giant without the authority of God? What if Moses tried to take those people, and we saw when he would battle with his flesh, what would happen? You know, what would have happened if the disciples didn't walk with the authority of God in their lives? You know, I couldn't imagine them facing persecution and those things. I think the word would look much different today. But the original design was, Jesus said, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm leaving you with the Holy Spirit, who will lead you into all truth. And so I think it's very important for us to know that if we really want to live this life to the fullest and be able to walk with that authority, we have to do it by the Spirit. There's only so much that our flesh can take us, and we have to be fully dependent on Him.
Amen. So it's important, though. Joshua said, you know, don't just follow the ark. We have to respect and reverence the ark. You know, Joshua 3:5, Joshua told the people, purify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Now, a lot of times we want the miracle, but we don't want to purify what's going on in our lives. Right. We don't want to take a look and make changes in our lives. But Joshua says, look, God wants to do wonders among you. So what do? Prepare yourself. Begin to prepare yourself. We could call it consecration. We could call it purifying ourselves. We could call it becoming more like Christ. But we have to position ourselves for the miracles that are needed to take us to the promise. It's going to take some miracles to get you to the promise. And God is ready to perform those wonders in your life. But we have to do what Joshua said. Purify yourself. If you want to be with God, I say it like this. If you want God to be with you, start acting like it. We have to act different if we want God to be with us and begin to open doors miraculously in our lives. But see, if we're still acting the same, we're living the same old life, and then we're expecting the miracles of God. It doesn't work that way. Joshua's saying, look, learn from the past. Learn what happened with Moses and learn what happened with our ancestors. Purify yourself so that God can do what he already wants to do, which is miracles on our behalf.
I think if I were to ask everybody in the room if you would like to walk in that authority and to be able to walk into a situation and speak a word and see things shift, that everybody would raise their hand and say, yeah, I want to walk in that authority. But what I find is a lot of people aren't ready to make the commitment and the sacrifice to get there. There's plenty of men and women of God that we've seen, you know, that we've heard of, that we've met, that have had, they really, you could tell they walk with God. And that is why they have such a fruit of it in their life, that when they pray for somebody, stuff happens. That when they, you know, speak to a situation, things change, you know. And I think we have to challenge ourselves in this day and age where there's been this mashup and mixture of, well, I can live a life for God, but there's a couple of things, you know, that it's just, I think I've worked this out with the Lord, that it's for me, it's my thing, you know. And the truth is, those things detract from what God really wants to do in our lives. And I think there's only a certain place that you can go when you, you know, when you fully give yourself to God, fully. That means, God, I'm not holding these parts back. God, I'm not going to allow these desires of mine to lead me. When I look at Jesus and the example that he led, and this is a tough one, because I know a lot of people that kind of think differently in this area, but we look at him and we see how he went and hung out with sinners. But the difference was, he was not just socializing. He was not just passing the time. He wasn't just making friends. He wasn't just being charismatic. He was making an influence on those people's lives. He stood out. It wasn't just, I'm hanging out with these guys. There were things happening. People were challenged to be better. People were challenged to be greater. And he wasn't getting influenced. He was influencing them. And so I think we have to examine our lives by his example and say, are we living up to that? Are we doing that? Are we blending in a little bit too much? You know, when we really want to see the change happen in our lives and transformation, we have to set ourselves apart and let go of things that cloud and clutter and, you know, are morally compromising to what God's original design for us is. So the principle that I think we could take away from this is, if we truly want to see God's hand at work in our lives, we have to walk like we want it. We have to walk in the word, walk in prayer. God, Jesus led a life of prayer, fasting, communing with God daily, not just for 5 minutes. It was a lifestyle. He spoke with God. He walked with God. So then when he walked among people, he was able to make a difference in their lives.
Amen. Amen. And there's power in that. When we are in God's presence, we are in God's power. God's power is with you when the presence of God is with you. And I'm talking about the manifested presence of God. When God is with you, power is with you. And when you're in God's presence, truly in God's presence, you have everything that you need to open doors. You'll lack for nothing. And so then Joshua in verse 11 here, 3:11, he says, look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord, will lead you across the Jordan River. Now choose 12 men. Just say that with me. Now choose 12 men.
12 men.
And I thought that was interesting, because it just points you back that you can't do your promise alone. You're going to have to choose some people to help you get where you need to go. For Joshua, he said, give me 12 men. For Jesus, he said, I'm going to choose 12 men. Mm-hmm. So the question today is, who are you choosing? Who are your 12? Because if you're not intentional about it, you'll have a random collection of people around you haphazardly trying to help you get to your promise. I don't know about you, but I want to be intentional in the pursuit of my promise. I want to hand select like Jesus did. I want to hand select the people around me so that I can achieve, so that I can possess that which God has promised over my life. Just say it with me today. Choose 12. And then there's this important point, and this is kind of where I want to wrap it up, and that is verse 15 and 16. Joshua 3, 15 and 16. Now, this gives us a little bit of the scene of the crime here, because they get finally to the Jordan River. They've been preparing themselves. They've been talking about the things of God. They've been talking about the promise. You've been there before? You've been talking about the promise. And then the rubber hits the road. They get to the Jordan River. And this is what it says it looked like. It said, it was the harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Right. Say that with me. Overflowing its banks. So it wasn't a skinny river. It wasn't something that the children of Israel could just jump over. It was overflowing. It was a true obstacle in the way. Can I tell you that on your pursuit of your purpose, there is going to be some insurmountable odds. There's going to be some giants. There's going to be some impossibilities that you're going to need miracles. But you have to step out in faith. The children of Israel and Joshua were willing to step out in faith. And to tell you the truth, what happened was when the priest stepped out, it looked exactly the same at first. Sometimes you're going to make a faith stance, and at first, it's not going to look any different. Can I tell you, the priest's feet were wet. The other people behind them, their feet were dry. But the priest that had to make the step of faith, they started and they got out there in the water. Because they were making a step of faith in obedience to the promise. And this is what God wants from us, is to be obedient to the promise and step out in faith. And that has been the reoccurring theme, is be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be very courageous. Will you stand with us today? I believe this is so much the word for us today. Step out in faith. Will you say that with me? Step out in faith. God wants to infuse us with faith and infuse us with boldness so that we can pursue our promise with strength and courage. Will you join hands with somebody beside you? I want Pastor Corinne to pray for you first, then I'm going to pray. But I believe God is going to give you the strength that you need to step out in faith.
Just say this with me. God, let the mind of Christ be in me.
Let the mind of Christ be in me.
Father, we come before you this morning together as one, Lord, united. And we ask you right now, Father, to just, we declare right now that every stronghold, everything that has tried to hold your people back, every hindrance, every spirit of intimidation or feeling overwhelmed or heaviness right now, yes, we uproot it in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
And God, I thank you for releasing faith in this place. God, where there has been any doubt, Father, we ask that you help with unbelief. God, we give all of that to you, Lord, and we ask that you would increase our faith in this place. Let your spirit empower us, Lord, to be strong and bold and courageous,
yes,
to run with the vision, God, to possess the promises that you've given us, God. We declare today that we will not hold back. And so, God, I ask for your people today to rise up and be counted, Lord, that they would be strong and mighty and able to do all that you have called them to do, God. I thank
yes
you, Father, that you would help us to be aggressive, Lord, to not be laid back or to be relaxed, Father, with the vision, but, Father, that you would give us that unrest in the spirit, Father, to keep pushing forward and to actually possess the things that you've promised each and every one of us, God, and this house, Lord, and this city, and the things that you have said are to come, God. We thank you for every word that you have spoken over your precious people, God. We hold on to those words, Lord. We declare them so. We know they will not return void. And God, I also ask you to give us eyes to see. Give your people eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit is saying. Let us perceive what your Spirit is wanting to do through us, God. And I thank you, Father, that you would help us to be activated today, Lord. Yes. Not sleepy, not dormant, but activated, and to be present in your army and to be ready to do battle and to conquer and be more than conquerors, as your word has said. So we thank you in advance for these things, Lord. We say it so and done in the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Be sure to visit hopeunited.church for more exciting content.